thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. You're smiling just at the sound of this song, aren't
you? I want to rock with you.
Sure.
All midday long.
All midday long.
This is a great album. Before Thriller.
I liked all his albums.
I love this album.
Yeah. I am such a big Michael Jackson fan.
Is this Off the Wall, isn't it?
It is Off the Wall.
No.
It's right before Off the Wall, maybe. I like Off the Wall.
Jasmine, what album? It's not Off the Wall.
No? I thought it was.
I believe that it is.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Trend wins.
There's a lot on today's show. Pablo Francisco will join us, a stand-up comic who is unlike any you've ever seen or heard before. Very, very funny man. Patrick McDonald will do some movie reviews. We'll talk a little bit about the phenomena that is Black Panther. But first, if we may, we'll start out with something a little bit on the nasty side. There were a couple of incidents yesterday, a couple of situations having to do with Florida. Number one was President Trump held his listening session where he had students and politicians and other people give their thoughts as to what happened last week and what to do moving forward.
And what a great idea to have that.
It's a very good idea. Very, very good idea. In addition to that, they did a town hall meeting that CNN hosted. Jake Tapper was in charge of this.
He lost control of it, though.
Quickly. Quickly spun out.
He did as best a job as he could have.
So, Wendy, I hope you'll agree with me that there was both good and bad in both.
Yep.
Right? All right.
Conversation is key, though. So I'm proud
of
getting a conversation started. To me, that was what was accomplished.
It's become a thing here in the United States, if not the world, to where anytime there's a situation that needs to be discussed, somebody says, well, at some point we'll have a discussion about it. We'll have a conversation about it. And then everybody nods, and then nobody ever does.
No.
Well, because the kids in Florida and around the nation now are so sick and tired of having to go to school with the fear that they could be murdered, the conversation is happening now, thankfully.
And it's better that the kids are coming forth on their own to say this and not the parents. Because, of course, the parents. You think about it every time you send your kid to school, every day.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, Wendy, but I do think there's real value in the parents talking to.
Absolutely.
Some of the stuff I've heard in the past 24 hours has just been...
I agree 100%, but if it was just the parents, I don't think it would have such... it wouldn't be such a movement.
When you hear their stories, you know, when they were caught up in this, when they were running for their lives or hiding and, you know, hearing the noises of gunfire, you know, down the hall, I don't know how your heart can't go out to them and say, boy, I don't know what I would do in your situation. Or I have kids that I send to school every day. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes to have to experience this.
And they've been changed forever.
Sure.
Forever.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what really breaks my heart.
Yep. Yep. So at some point we'll talk about what happened with Donald Trump and listening session, but I want to focus on the town hall meeting with Marco Rubio for just a little bit. At some point, one of the kids, one of the surviving kids from Stoneman Douglas, Cameron Caskey is his name, confronted Marco Rubio with a question that I think is a very fair question, which is, can you stop taking money from the NRA? Maybe it's time to stop accepting money from the NRA. So what he was asking for, as you'll hear, is a promise from Marco Rubio that instead of just blind words, instead of saying, hey, I pray for you, I think about you, we got to stop this, stop taking the money from the NRA.
We need action.
Right. So it didn't go real well. Listen to this. This is from last night.
Senator Rubio, can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?
Now, just stop it for a second. I want to point out that during this, as you could hear, the crowd is kind of on the side of that question. That's the question that needs to be asked. If we want to fix this, you have to stop shilling for the NRA. Can you make that promise? And he's kind of walking around the stage, and you can see the wheel spinning in his head of, and it's a very political thing to do. How do I answer this question without answering this question?
Which they're all pretty good at.
They're all very good at that. So here's Marco Rubio not answering the question while answering the question.
I wish I could have spoken I wish I could have asked the NRA lady a question. I wish the NRA lady I could have talked to, because I would ask her how she can look in the mirror, considering the fact that she has children, but, you know, maybe she avoids
those.
What
is that? I'm sorry?
I don't freaking know.
That's okay. The question is about NRA money. So, number one, the positions I hold on these issues of the Second Amendment, I've held since the day I entered office in the city of West Miami as an elected official. Number two, no, the answer to the question is that people buy into my agenda. And I do support the Second Amendment. And I also support the right of you and everyone here to be able to go to school and be safe. And I do support any law that would keep guns out of the hands of a deranged killer. And that's why I support the things that I have stood for and fought for during my time here.
More NRA money? More NRA money?
That is the wrong way to look. First of all, the answer is people buy into my agenda.
You can say
no. Number second, well,
So Marco Rubio says on several occasions, you heard him already say it twice, that he supports anyone who supports his agenda.
People buy into my agenda. That saying, he can't control who supports him. But yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So far, Marco Rubio has accepted over $3 million from the NRA so far. Why would it hurt? What would be the worst thing in the world other than the fact that money is siphoning into his account for him to say, I'm going to stop. Today's the last day. I'm sorry I've done it in the past and it will not happen in the future. I'm done taking the blood money of the NRA. What would have, other than the fact that he can't do it, he proved he couldn't do it. Why not?
Do it. He doesn't want to do it.
See, if somebody gives you that much money, they own you. You have to play by their rules. So at some point, much like in the great movie The Godfather, where it's made clear that at some point I'm doing you a favor, and at some point I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. He's got to do them a favor. There's going to be some vote at some point that's going to be anti-NRA, and he can't vote against some group that gave him over $3 million. He can't do it because they'll stop funding him. He doesn't want that. It's just pathetic.
But he can do it. He chooses not to.
He chooses not to. Right.
And I love that kid. And, you know, I love that he's speaking his mind. And he asked the totally right question.
Perfect question.
And pushed a little bit. I get upset when that kid was too comfortable for me. And I don't freaking know. I don't know. To me, this is a platform where listen, you said I swear a lot. I just feel this is a moment to be more respectful and rise above what you're dealing with.
He probably could have and should have done that.
That's all I'm saying. I don't disagree with what he's saying. He got very cocky, in my opinion.
I will give you that there was an element of that, but I would also say that a week ago he was in a school where he didn't know if he was going to live anymore, and all of a sudden he finds himself on a stage, you know, with a high-ranking official, and maybe he wasn't ready for that moment. Maybe, you know.
He wasn't ready for the moment at the school either.
He sure wasn't. No, he wasn't.
And, you know, kids, listen, I'm an adult and still sometimes you act a different way than you're planning on.
Sure.
And I'm sure he's filled with emotion. I didn't hear the emotion. I heard cockiness. Not that that's bad.
Right.
I'm just, you know.
Right.
An observation.
I don't want to put all the blame on Marco Rubio. You know, the other day we were talking about Donald Trump. I don't blame Donald Trump for anybody who got murdered in Florida a week ago.
Not his fault.
I do blame the fact that he changed restrictions that were already in place to make it easier for somebody with mental disabilities to purchase a gun. And these are, if there's ever been a time for a politician to go, wow, my career is on the line as could possibly be. This is the time to, if you only care about your career, realize that the people who are voting for you want change. You heard the people in that auditorium. They want change.
I'm going to throw a question out there just because I don't know the answer, and I'd like to hear what people think. Is not accepting money from the NRA the answer?
It's not the only answer, but it's a step in the right direction, don't you think? Because then you don't have to answer to them.
True.
The days of answering to the NRA are over. Once you say, I'm not taking your money anymore, keep thanks but no thanks, I don't want it. Then you don't answer to them anymore. Then you truly do vote with your heart and not because somebody has funded you through over $3 million.
And what is the NRA's take on the automatic weapons? Because I've heard and read different things that maybe they're not supportive of it. Yeah. So,
No. Of the AR-15, I think they're pretty much in support of it.
They are?
Support of the fact that it should stay the way it
is. That it's available.
Yeah. That's my understanding, Wendy.
In fact,
the head of the NRA, just spoke at a conservative conference in Washington, accusing gun control advocates of exploiting the shooting to push their agenda.
Yeah, so that's I've heard that too, and that's just cray cray. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right, there's more of this, and if you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200, that's our phone line and our text line. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our phone lines and text lines are the same, 312-981-7200. We're talking about yesterday where there were two different opportunities for people to get their thoughts out. One was a listening session, quote-unquote, with Donald Trump, where a bunch of people sat down kind of in a semicircle and spoke with Mr. Trump about their concerns and how best to move forward. And then there was a CNN town hall meeting that Jake Tapper moderated. And at some point, one of the fathers stepped forward. Fred Guttenberg is his name. And listen to this. Listen to how this played out.
Senator Rubio, I just listened to your opening, and thank you. I want to like you. Here's the problem. And I'm a brutally honest person, so I'm just going to say it up front.
Yes, sir.
When I like you, you know it. And when I'm pissed at you, you know it. Your comments this week and those of our president have been pathetically weak. So, you and I are now eye to eye, because I want to like you. Look at me and tell me guns were the factor in the hunting of our kids in this school this week. And look at me and tell me you accept it and you will work with us to do something about guns.
Fred, I'm not, first of all, let me explain what I said this week, and I'll repeat it. I'll repeat what I said. And what I said, and then I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about guns, and we're going to talk about what I said this week. And here's what I said. I said that the problems that we are facing...
Let him speak. I think we need to hear it.
I'm saying that the problems that we're facing here today cannot be solved by gun laws alone. And I'm going to tell you what we've done already and what I hope we'll do moving forward.
Were guns the factor in
Absolutely.
The hunting of our kids?
Of course they were. Now, I think what you're asking about is the assault weapons ban.
Yes, sir.
So let me be honest with you about that one. If I believed that that law would have prevented this from happening, I would support it. But I want to explain to you why it would not.
Senator Rubio.
You can stop for a second there. That's where the NRA's influence comes in, because that's where he says, oh, if I thought that that would help change, if I thought that was a factor, then I would vote a certain way. No, that's the NRA handing you money to vote a certain way. That's what that comes down to.
Sure seems like it. Ted has a comment about this. Hi, Ted.
How you doing, guys?
Confused. I mean, really.
Dazed and confused.
Well, we're all confused at this. I got to be honest. I'm not an NRA member. I don't totally understand all this stuff, but you know, one of the things with the NRA is that they seem to be a very healthy target every time one of these things come up. And there's reasons that people maybe do that because of their own understanding, just like you're saying, you guys are confused. But just listen to what just happened there a second ago. You're playing this crowd going crazy. It's like a mob mentality. Oh, we've got to go after the NRA. NRA was not responsible for that kid going in there. Whatever you think about those weapons, the NRA put it out there when the Vegas shooting happened that bump stock, yeah, something should be done about that, and that bill died in Congress.
That's so true. The government has a lot to do with these laws that the laws have to be changed. How did this kid get guns legally?
Exactly.
At 18 years old.
And, you know, there's something about that that it's, I certainly don't have the answer to that question. I don't know who does, but there's got to be, there's an element of that that goes a whole lot deeper than just the fact that these guns are available out there. Because I was the guy that sent the text to you guys yesterday. You know, the same day that 9/11 happened, there was some nut job over in China went wild with a knife, And I mean, he attacked like 30 people. And ironically, I think he killed about the same number of people. I remember that.
Just think if he had had an AR-15.
Exactly, there would have been much more death involved. I mean,
but here's what happens with that. If we're going to go down that road, just like one of the students said over the weekend, well, if he had a knife, he wouldn't have got as many people. Now you're authorizing. Well, we're okay with a certain number of deaths as long as it's not done with a gun. Well, then at that point, now you're going to pick and choose. Okay, well, it's okay to get rid of these here because it's only going to be with a knife. Are you going to volunteer for that?
I think, I really think you're oversimplifying it a little bit. I mean, you know, you can keep doing those other contingencies until, you know, we're all blue in the face. But, I mean, the fact is that this particular weapon is made to shoot fast, and it is being used in these mass killings of innocent people.
And
now,
hard to go up against when it's flying that quickly. A knife, it's a completely apples to oranges thing. It really is.
That's true. And I think part of what the problem is, and this is just my opinion, that school's large, and it's a random thing. I mean, how... There's no way anybody could predict it. I shouldn't say no way. I mean, obviously, people were trying to rat this out, and there was other things that fell through the cracks there. But how in the world are you going to be able to try and plan, you know, you could say a contingency this every way out? How are you going to know to be able to avoid this situation? The only thing you're left to be able to do is your metal detectors and guards at all the doors.
Because that kid did just walk right back into school, which is scary to me.
I don't want to oversimplify it. And any solution is probably impossible, but any increase in safety is going to be complicated and going to involve a lot of things. But and this couldn't have been done, but the one thing that could have stopped this shooting is if this guy couldn't have had a gun. That is the one thing that could have stopped this. Now, is it reasonable to have prohibited him from getting a gun? I don't know. Is it reasonable that there should have been guards anywhere? I don't know. All I know is that this shooting would not have happened if he wasn't able to buy that gun.
And then the trick is, can you guarantee that if he had this in mind to go do this, that there's no way he could have gotten a gun no matter what law we would have had on the books?
Well, we don't know that.
Exactly. So, and that's why I get mad when I hear that, oh, it's the NRA. It can't be the NRA, folks.
It's a bunch of things.
It's a
combination of things. Ted, we got a break for news, but thank you very much. We appreciate your call.
You bet. Have a good
one, guys. Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it. All right. We'll discuss this more later. We have other things to talk about. The news is next, and then Pablo Francisco joins us. He's performing at the Improv this week. Stick around. A lot more show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, can we put the gloom and doom aside for just a little while? We'll bring it back out later. Just put it in the gloom and doom closet, and when we need it, we'll go for it. Pablo Francisco is here. It's always good to see Pablo Francisco. He's performing at the Improv tonight through Sunday. If you've not seen him, Pablo, how would you describe what you do? What's the best way to describe your act?
Well, it's a little bit of ADD, EFG, HIJK, LMNOP, you know, yeah.
That was Kiss. That's right. It was Kiss. They don't do drugs, even though Gene Simmons spits blood. He's a demon and, you know, on fire.
That's all you have to do, I forgot, is say hello to Pablo.
And that's all. You're done. Speaking of Casey Kasem, I don't know if you have satellite radio, but Casey still hosts the weekly Top 40, even though
really?
He has not been with us for many years. It's not new versions, it's old ones from the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
Wow.
But it's very jarring to hear a man who's passed away host a show and do it so well.
That's right. I'm back, and it's time for a long-distance dedication. It reads, Dear Casey, my ex-wife was mauled by a bunch of pit bulls. Would you please play Who Let the Dogs Out? Pablo has type 2 diabetes. Would you please play Pour Some Sugar on Me? Boink. He comes from the dead. Boom. I'm back.
You have at some point done an impression for somebody who is that person, right? The guy you do is there. What's that gone like?
That's Don LaFontaine goes, you do me better than I do me. If I was you, I'd be doing you, doing me, doing you. But you're radical.
Explain for people who don't know, he was the movie voice guy for decades. He's the guy when you went to a movie theater and you saw previews or trailers.
In a world.
He was the guy, yeah.
If someone's playing a deadly game, and then he'd be like really happy. This summer has Brady written all over it. Kind of gravelly but happy, but he talks like that all the time. You know, it's like, yes, you know, would you like a cookie? That kind of thing. So, unfortunately, he passed away, but he goes, you know what? I always wanted somebody to do me, and you can do me. I mean, not that kind of do me.
No, of course not. But you, like, after he passed away, didn't they come to you a couple times and say, we want you to do what he used to do?
Well, yeah, they did come to me, and they asked me, but I took a long break from doing it. I didn't want to just step right in there because I was meeting and those other voiceover guys, like the one that does all the Disney Hercules and all your favorite Disney characters, those that kind of guys. But now I've been doing it for Subaru now, so it's been working out. Just
well, good for you.
Yeah, it's been working out.
That's so excellent.
That is great. Yeah. I'm going to buy a Subaru. Maybe it's because you're telling me to
buy the Subaru XV.
That's it. You should be the onboard voice. Like anytime you need a command,
press
a button and you would answer it.
You will drive yourself. I will drive you. Let go of the steering wheel. Here comes the condom. Oh, sorry about that. Oops, sorry.
You're right.
That's fine.
In all the times
we believe in you, safe broadcasting.
Yeah, you have
safe
broadcasting. You have to practice safe broadcasting. And all the times we've had you on, Pablo, I didn't realize that you were on Mad TV for a little bit, huh?
I was on Mad TV. I took Artie Lang's place for like 7 weeks, and it was an experience because it was like every week you go there, you see Ike Turner. He's a guest, and then you got Luke Skywalker. He's a guest too. So it was like it was fun, you know. And then it was at the Lucille Ball Studios, and then
nice.
And then it went to where else you go to? Then it went to a news station or something like that. So it opened doors, and now I'm a YouTube star. So yeah, karaoke.
Oh,
yeah, what's happening? Uh huh.
What's that like to be a YouTube star?
Yeah, man, I get a million hits. Man, girls come to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's right. YouTube, and from Cuba, it's InnerTube. But anyhow, ouch. I can say that I'm Latino. I'm the white Latino. So I hang out at Lowe's.
Rude hug. I did not expect a visit from Mr. Magoo.
No, that was really just made
that
my
was
day.
A surprise.
That'd be him making love. You know you want it. I'm done.
Rude hug. So he would have to announce that he was done. That's fantastic.
He announced everything.
Yeah. Oh, bully. Here we go. Oh, bully. No, it's your favorite cartoon characters.
Who is that?
What's that guy's name?
I can't think of it.
Here we go to the master bedroom. Oh, bully. I'm done.
Who is it?
It's
come on.
Droopy Dog.
Droopy Dog.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Take it to the base. Okay, but anyhow.
He would say take it to the base. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. You are not a father, are you? Do you have kids?
No, I do not have kids. I am single when I'm drunk. And so right now I'm riding single, so it's good for like
do you want to have kids someday? That would be so much fun to do cartoon voices for your kids. Would that be the best?
You'd have to change the material a little bit.
Get down, get to your room, go. Come on, it's not I'll be back, it's I'll be back, okay? Come on. I get to keep rocking you back and forth. I don't get it.
So, Schwarzenegger's doing movies again.
Yes.
I didn't think we'd see that.
He's doing a ton of movies now.
Yeah.
Like, he has them all like, you know, with Sylvester Stallone. He's going to do music. I say hip-hop, hip it to the hip-hop. You don't stop. Okay, that's too easy. You can't do that one. Here's Arnold with him. Don't look back. Don't look back because you go to recall. All right.
Is it easier to say who Pablo doesn't do?
Yeah, give us somebody you don't do.
I can't do. A Christopher Walken. Everyone does one.
Oh.
But I can't do him. But I can do a Dennis Hopper talking to him. Come on, man. Somewhere, your great grandfather. Can do it. I sound like Dracula. Christopher Walken, Dracula.
Where are you when a lot of these impressions start? Are you in the car? Are you driving in the car? Where are you?
Usually it's at my house. I got a friend of mine, Steve, who does impersonations great. So he's like, you gotta, you know, get the lips like this, and then you gotta make it like a Trumpy. You know, he's all technical like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, and Gene Simmons is like the aardvark, the anteater in Pink Panther. He's and the guy who talked to the point to Gene Simmons. This is Gene Simmons.
Like a Jackie Mason type.
Yeah,
not Jackie Mason, but in the vein of Jackie.
He
anteater.
He has weird parallels to put them together. You know, he was trying to do Mr. Rourke from
Fantasy Island.
Yeah, I used to do tattoo, and he goes, "No, it's a tattoo." Now I sound like Wayne Newton tattoo. Wayne Newton, thank you. But usually I learn from him. Usually I just grab it and then you know it's an inflection down. But
I feel like Wendy and I should have bingo cards, and we could check off. Oh, Mr. Magoo, Wayne Newton, Christopher Walken. We got that one down.
And Aaron Neville.
He sounds like he's trying to find a radio station.
Johnny Mathis had that same thing.
Oh,
where
he
would start out and then you would just not hear him for a second.
Burgers and fries. Well, that'd be Randy Travis because it's all about kissing under a porch light and Dairy Queen on a Sunday. And ladies, put your clothes back on. I came here for the pumpkin pie.
Oh, my.
Pablo Francisco's here and a whole bunch of other people. It's very strange. Mm. You can see Pablo performing at the Improv. You want to go to chicagoimprov.com. All the ticket information is there. Like I said, tonight through Sunday, we'll take a quick break and then a lot more show with us, Bill and Wendy on WGN. Get up, get on up, get up. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Pablo Francisco, who is performing
do a little
at
James
the Improv.
Brown?
Yeah, kill myself. I do a good Eddie Murphy doing it. Yeah. No, leave me alone. Yeah, take that. Do a compilation of like,
celebrities slapping each other.
And Tommy Lee. Take that. Oh, yeah. I'm Billy Idol. I was Randy Travis. This is Gene Simmons. And you're listening to the Q WSTDs in the morning with Itchy and Scratchy.
Wow.
I picture somebody driving next to you on a highway watching you perfect
talking
the
to
act.
Myself? Oh, yeah. Geez. Yeah, that kind of gets
Has out. That happened? That must many have happened.
Many times. Yeah. Yeah. Usually it's two guys with a gun. Hey, man, what's up? And I was like, okay, that's all right. I'm going to do that.
Everything's all right.
Yeah. Cannot talk to myself too much. Huh?
Do you prefer being referred to as a comedian, a comic, or an impressionist? What's the best?
I would say a comedian would be good, you know, but can't say, oh, and I have fans. I just call them like one big bond, you know, we just get together.
Yeah,
and just,
that's nice.
Crank some jokes and, you know, why am I doing Johnny Carson? No one,
Johnny Carson, okay, with Jay Leno. So,
Jay Leno was a kid.
Jay Leno spoke as like a that kid. As a
Johnny Carson on coke. I'm so wow. I'm so high right now. Wow, I can put a Yugo in orbit. Is that a new drummer? Okay. But
well, you talk about a ride at an amusement park. I would like to be in your head as this is going on.
Well, it's a fun place, baby. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah.
But do you remember back? Speaking of Jay Leno as a kid. The first impression you ever did, who was it?
It was the Kermit the Frog. I just saw the commercial. Hey, it's Kermit the Frog. And you just jump right into it. And then Kermit the Frog turned into a box cag. Outside the rain begins. So they kind of like mix in with each other. They morph into that too. Like, you know, Dennis Hopper turns into a, have I told you lately? You know, that kind of thing.
But, yeah.
You know, Rod Stewart to the Randy Travises to get hillbillies to hillbillies turn into Gary Busey. What's it like with all the electricity and that kind of thing?
So when you started doing the voices, though, were mom and dad worried? What was their reaction?
Yeah, my dad was like going, you know, where are you going to go with this? You know, he was like going, he would tell, he goes, don't make love to somebody because, you know, if you do, they're going to get very confused. Like, all right.
Solid advice.
That's great advice from your dad.
Very advice. What did he do for a living? What was your dad's line of work?
My dad worked at Kitt Peak National Observatory for like four days out of the week. So I never saw him. So it was like retirement. You know, I can get away with a lot with my mom, but my dad would come, all right, I'm going to get you. But he worked up there with the telescopes. It was amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
this must have thrown him for a loop, the fact that you were going to choose something that was entirely different from what he did, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, I was coming home drunk too, going, hey, Dad, I do shows. Oh my gosh, someone, what? Comedy clubs pay you to do shows? All right, I don't get it. So he's kind of like scared of it. There's no TV, there's no college for it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Just go to clubs. Yeah, go over there. You know, and he's talking to Mike. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm, Mr. Comic. So.
But what happens when they come to see you in a club when they're sitting there and there's hundreds of people buying every second? What's their reaction to that?
You know what? You do the same act during the second show too. So there. They try to, you know, knock it down. So I was like, all right. You know.
That's funny.
It's kind of funny because he walked up to me one time because there's a lady on Matt TV that's doing a Mexican woman. All right. And I go, that's me.
Oh, he didn't know really?
That. He thought I sweeped.
Oh my God!
So it was a little surprise. He was in good hands with Allstate. That's what he was.
That's what he was.
Right.
How have you changed in the years you've been doing stand-up? Are you the same person, or have you changed a little bit?
Yeah, I haven't grown up yet. You know, my management team, they go, you got to grow up. And I was okay. I'll grow up. Grow up like that. But I'm still 25. I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I still haven't lived, you know.
But does this job keep you young, or are you constantly going, wow, there's younger guys coming up all the time. I gotta roll with this.
Yeah, everything is gets different. Yes,
but, yeah.
It's fun watching the new millennials, I guess you would call it.
Millennials. Yeah
they're the millennials. But what I watch them, I kind of get. I get like really pumped up because, you know, it's like going back in time again. You know, sure. You see that competition thing going on and just watching these guys develop. So to me, I'm just, you know, same old, still read at third grade level. And,
you know, good for you.
You know, babe, so, you know, come check out the show in Schaumburg. Yep.
And you'll be in good hands with Allstate. And you'll see Mark Wahlberg there too. Hey, man, you doing good? Huh? You doing good? He's everywhere. Now he's doing elementary school announcements. What's going on there, Corbin Elementary? Huh? You doing good? You doing good? Macaroni cheese, huh? Science fair's coming, huh? No volcanoes.
I just saw a picture of him with some washboard abs and us or people or something.
Yeah, he's
looking pretty good.
He's always going to be getting up at 4 a.m. Hey, man, doing good, huh? You doing good?
He's concerned about other people, Pablo. There's nothing wrong with that. He's concerned.
He's a philanthropist.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
That's
he
who
is.
He is.
Have you done this in other countries? Have you done stand-up in other countries or just U.S. so far?
Oh, everywhere. Oh, Norway.
Have you really?
Oh, sold out in Norway, Sweden, went to the Baltics, got back from, now we're in Hong Kong, and YouTube gets out there, man.
So I guess so.
It's crazy. So we're going to Asia and Australia. It's like going to Fantasy Island and keeping the money. Hello, diplome. It's like, oh, thank you. So I had all my public moments, so I'm happy.
How does Mr. Magoo do in Norway? Do they like the Magoo?
They love Mr.
They love
Magoo.
The Magoo in Norway.
I'm done. Ouch. Cartoons.
Oh, so you don't? Do you change your attitude? Do you change the act? What happens when you're in a foreign land and you go, oh, I don't know if they know who this guy is or this guy is?
And is there an interpreter?
No.
You know, no interpreter?
No, usually. British. It's no, actually, I mean, a lot of my comedy is kind of physical. It's like a little bit of Benny Hill divided by the square root of you know, Steve Martin. I don't know, something like that. Because the only thing that I got to change up are the commercials. Like, you know, like, if I make fun of, but then when you get there, they do have ShamWow.
Oh, they do
have Billy Mays.
Really?
Kind of, oh yeah. So
yeah.
So I get away with it. So it's all good. So. Don't have to alter the act.
Not watching the Olympics, right? You're avoiding them on purpose, or you just haven't the time?
Yeah, it's basically they're airing it at times where I can't. I can't time it out just right. But you know, King Long Hill, you know, that kind of thing. I just, you know, snowboarding. Yeah, all right. You know, I just can't. You know.
You're not into any of those.
Nah, not
is there
too
much. A sport that you are a fan of? Is other than the Olympics? I mean,
I like pole dancing. It's good.
Are you a pole dancing fan?
Care for candy? All right. Yeah, especially the real pole dancing. Dancing. So when they're texting, you know, when they're pole dancing. What can you say? Huh?
Texting has changed everything.
Yeah, boy, it sure has.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I want to make mention of the fact you've done albums in the past, but you have a new one that's coming out. You've not recorded it yet, but soon in Las Vegas, right?
Right. Usually all the other albums I've done organically, just with the microphone. This one I said, let's put a little bit of, you know, cartoons in it and make fun of things. So we're making, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's a convicted felon. Doesn't have the right to vote, but has every right to come to your house and spray mace in your face. That kind of thing. And we show Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know, in Chinatown. So it's going to be
fun.
It's going to be fun. We'll make fun of reality shows, you know, like Storage Wars. I mean, come on. If you want Storage Wars, just have a yard sale and have your friend on cocaine auction off everything. You know, we took a bunch of prostitutes, put them in an apartment, call it Hoarders.
Magoo! You've done it again.
I've done it again.
It's Pablo Francisco, everybody. He's performing at the Improv tonight through Sunday. Go to chicagoimprov.com.
How will he have anything left in him?
Do you have anything left in the tank, or are you completely empty?
Come on, Doc. We can just get down there. Come on. Come to the show. Doc.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What?
What? They're working you like a dog.
Man, it's rough, man.
You'll
I'm saying, if you get drunk, take a taxi to your car.
Pablo Francisco at the Chicago Improv. Go see him. Thanks, Pablo.
Hey,
great to see you.
Thank you.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, can you do me a favor? I only kind of half heard, but the NRA has made a statement, apparently, as a result of what took place yesterday. Can you just reiterate a little bit of what was...
Well, CPAC is going on in Washington. It's a conservative political action committee. It's a huge conference every year.
Yeah.
And Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA, was among the first to speak. And he said that the people who are pushing for gun control now in the wake of the school shooting are exploiting these kids because what they really want to do is get rid of guns in any way. Which is funny. I mean, that's like blaming umbrella makers for
the rain.
Yeah, for right. trying to fight the rain. That's what gun control people do. And so he argued that, you know, what we need are much more armed guards at schools, which I think, you know, probably a lot of people will agree with. But he sort of dismissed as inauthentic any move toward stricter gun control laws.
I think it's now, unfair it's to those kids, Steve, to say that they're being exploited by this. I mean, they were exploited by the fact that a kid was running down the halls of their school shooting at them. That was the exploitation, not this.
It's a completely different form of speak. I mean, we have, you know, we have the kids on one side and we have LaPierre on this other side, and they're each portraying a sense of reality that cannot coexist.
Right.
I've never been in a part of a debate as we are at this time where people will just stand up and speak in alternate realities.
Yeah.
Whether one's right or one's wrong, it's startling to me. You know, the other thing to consider, and I think, you know, a lot of people will say we need more armed guards at schools, but think of the gun sales then.
Right.
You know, think
absolutely.
If you were buying a couple of guns for every school in this country. Buy that stock.
Right. 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 One of the points that came up yesterday during the listening session that Donald Trump held was the idea that, and it's come up before, that maybe it's time to give teachers, I think they came up with the idea, I don't know how they came up with this number, that 20% of teachers should be carrying weapons.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Should be carrying guns. My reaction to
that. I mean, that is not the answer, and that is not fair to require a teacher to have that responsibility. Teachers already don't get paid enough.
You know, can I just say, too, we create in our minds people. And so when we talk about this, we're like, yeah, all teachers are great. All teachers do the right thing. You know, there are nutty teachers out there, too. There just are. But
Steve, somebody yesterday, a man who is married to a teacher who came, a lot of people got a chance to speak their piece yesterday. And one of the guys was talking about how his wife is a career teacher. And he said, not their job. Their job is to teach. It's not so much their job to be carrying weaponry. But also, he said, teaching is a very emotional profession. Most professions are emotional professions. I don't know that 20% of the people I know should have guns, teachers or otherwise. It's just not a good idea. Somebody else quoted statistics about accidents and about suicides and the fact that if a gun is readily available, your accident rate is going to go a lot higher up. Your suicide rate is going to go a lot higher up. And this is aside from what just took place in Florida. This is just a separate issue. It's just the availability adds to those numbers.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get mad at somebody, you punch them or shove them or something. You can't take that back.
Right.
But you can apologize. You can't take a bullet back at all and can't really apologize for that.
No.
So Steve has to go. He has to do his Mincing Rascals.
Oh, is that coming up? Oh,
yeah, he's busy on Thursdays.
Jazz, can we play the audio? We have a tape. This is from yesterday's listening session with Donald Trump, where the idea is floated that maybe teachers, 20% was the number they came up with. I don't know how they came up with that idea, but this was yesterday.
Concealed carry for teachers and for people of talent, of that type of talent. So let's say you had 20% of your teaching force, because that's pretty much the number. And you said it, an attack has lasted on average about 3 minutes. It takes 5 to 8 minutes for responders, for the police to come in. So the attack is over. If you had a teacher who was adept at firearms, they could very well end the attack very quickly. And the good thing about a suggestion like that, and we're going to be looking at it very strongly, and I think a lot of people are going to be opposed to it. I think a lot of people are going to like it. But the good thing is that you'll have a lot of people with that. They may be Marines that left the Marines, left the Army, left the Air Force, and they're very adept at doing that. You'd have a lot of them, and they'd be spread evenly throughout the school. So the other thing, I really believe that if these cowards knew that the school was, you know, well guarded from the standpoint of having pretty much professionals with great training, I think they wouldn't go into the school to start off with. I think it could very well solve your problem. A lot of people don't understand that airline pilots now, a lot of them carry guns. And
is
I have
true?
To say that things have changed a lot. People aren't attacking the way they would routinely attack. And maybe you have the same situation in schools.
The whole conceal and carry thing is no one's going to act up because they're afraid of getting shot. So that's kind of what he's saying. If teachers are armed and you have, you know, in the science wing, there's a teacher that you don't know who it is, but they have a gun. In the English wing, in the typing hall or keyboarding hall, that this person will not come in and shoot up the school if they know they're going to get killed. If they've come to that point, they probably expect to be killed.
Somebody at the listening session yesterday said almost that word for word. They said their belief is they're just going to shoot and they don't expect to come out of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's a deterrent. We're at 312-981-7200. Maybe you heard the president say this yesterday, or maybe you're hearing it for the first time today. Is that the answer?
No.
Or
get armed guards at the school. That would make more sense to me. Show some presence outside that there's an armed guard there.
What was the school that one of the schools that had a shooting incident had armed guards and it didn't make a bit of difference?
I don't remember which one. There's
too many to keep track of which one.
Why are there? I mean, listen. I guess this is going to be. People are going to go against what I'm saying here, but why aren't there metal detectors at schools?
Well, there are in a lot of cases now.
But so
there was at my daughter's school. There were metal detectors. They didn't have a shooting incident, but they were going through a metal
detector.
Not
at this school, or this kid wouldn't have gotten in with the guns.
Well, there was an explanation yesterday because somebody said, why were the doors open? Why were the doors unlocked? And apparently the school's policy was 10 minutes or 20 minutes, I don't remember, before the end of the school day, they unlocked the doors. And the kid knew that. That was part of his plan.
Because he went there.
You know? So, yeah, maybe in the future, schools that have a policy like that might want to revisit that and say, no, we keep the doors locked.
But okay, doors unlocked, doors locked. I mean, I guess you can't have a metal detector at every door that's open, but I don't know. I mean, you know, going to the Hawks game, yeah, you got to get there a little early and go through the metal detectors.
Do you mind that? Because
I don't mind it at all. I mean, it would suck because already I think high schoolers' day starts way too early and you'd have to drop them off, you know, a half an hour early to get through the metal detectors.
But the trade-off is
they'd be alive.
A safer feeling. Yeah.
All right. Donald Trump brought up something about airline pilots being armed. And Dave, you are a retired pilot?
Yeah, I spent 33 years with United Airlines, retired airline captain.
Good for you.
President Trump said yesterday, a lot of people don't know this, but airline pilots are now carrying guns. True or not true?
That's not true. There is a program out there that pilots can sign up for. It's called an FFDO, Federal Flight Deck Officer Program. But it's purely voluntary. And over my 33 years, I would say, at the very most, there's probably 1% of the pilots out there that have signed up for that program. And quite frankly, the few pilots that I knew that signed up for it were the last people in the world that you would want to have guns.
I'm sure.
Although, think of it, then why are they flying a plane? Because, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, there are suicidal pilots where I hope I don't ever get on that flight. So, you know, there's some mental health issues involved in being a pilot, let alone having a gun added to that.
Well, that's very true. And let me draw a parallel here. We also carried what they call FAMs, Federal Air Marshals, on the airplanes. And, of course, they were
they're armed.
They were hidden from the public. Nobody knew they were on there. And the FAMs would be known to the pilots in the cockpit. We knew where they were. But in the event of a problem, if the pilot was armed and decided to go back and help, the FAMs said they were the first person they were going to shoot.
Oh.
So, in other words, if the police come upon a school that is having a problem.
Yeah.
And teachers show up in the hallway with weapons.
You're right.
It's going to be pretty hard to distinguish who is who.
Who's the shooter and who's the good shooter. Yeah.
Exactly. They're going to shoot the first person that they see that has a gun.
Yeah, you know what? That's I never even thought about that. Boy, that's just common sense 101 right there. Dave, thank you so much for your call.
So anyway, my point is there are very few pilots out there anymore that carry weapons. Very, very few. And it was purely voluntary.
See, that's what's so upsetting is I almost want to give Donald Trump a point for sitting through this listening session. Because for a minute, I said to myself, maybe I'm wrong about him. Maybe he does care. Maybe he does want to change something. But then when you pull out a statistic, like I think his words were, a lot of people don't know this, but pilots are now carrying guns. We just had proof that that's not the case. They're not carrying guns.
It's not the case at all. It's absolutely not the case.
That's so upsetting. Dave, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it.
Although I did read somewhere, we were reading it on the TV screen, the caption was that Donald Trump is entertaining the idea of a little stricter gun regulation, being 21 years of age to have to, in order to get a gun. I can't remember all of them. I will look that up when we take a break.
Three or four restrictions that seemed like he wanted to change them. So,
and that would be good.
It would be great. Let's see what happens. Your thoughts on this? Should teachers be the ones to be carrying the weapons in a school? How will that change the situation for better or worse? We're at 312-981-7200. Love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call us or text us. Yesterday, there was a listening session held in which one of the possible solutions to the mass shootings was to give teachers guns. Donald Trump came up with the term 20%. I don't know why that number was at 20%, but he just threw it out there as, well, that's the number, it's 20%. So the solution there would be you arm 20% of teachers in your schools with guns. You don't tell the kids who has them. You kind of intersperse them throughout the school, put them in different sections of the school, thus preventing what happened in Florida. I'm not sure that's the best solution. It is a solution. Don't think it's the best one. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200.
All right. And as I mentioned, and I can't get in the mind of a school shooter, but to me, I don't think they care if they survive.
I don't think so either.
I think they're there just to carry out something that they've planned and they want to do it. And they realize that they may not come out alive.
Yeah.
So I don't know who to talk to here. John is here. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? I happen to have a concealed carry permit. Of course, I live in Wisconsin, so it's a little different up here than it is in Illinois. And but the idea of arming teachers is really, it's a bad idea. And as I was telling, I believe, Jasmine on the phone when she answered, that our problem is not gun laws or availability of guns so much as it is we have a cultural breakdown in our society in the United States. I was telling her that my daughter lives in Japan. She's was a student and then now works there in Kobe. Dates a Japanese boy. And their society is so ordered and so well-mannered and so respectful of people. You know, people say, well, this would never happen in Japan because they have stricter gun laws. No, this never happened in Japan because they have a society that won't allow it.
Culturally, they're very different than us here in America. I realize that.
So why can't we fix our own culture? You know, when I was a child, guns were... My dad had a rifle in the back of the pickup all the time. You drove to school, you'd see farm kids driving their farm trucks, you know, pickups to school, and there'd be guns, but, you know, in the back window. That was so common. What's happened in the past, you know, 40 years?
I don't know what's happened. One of the fathers who spoke yesterday from Sandy Hook was talking about how instead of focusing on changing the gun laws, what they wanted to focus on was getting into the kids' heads of, if there's some sort of a problem and you feel like you're heading in the wrong direction, come to us, seek help, let us help you, do whatever we need to help us, do whatever we need to do to make you right, to make things better. And he said, you're seeing the attitude change. You know?
Yeah, but it's also other people out there who say, oh, your kid is scared to go to school. They're such a snowflake. Kids are aware of this, and kids are not going to want to appear weak by saying, I'm having really weird thoughts here, Dad. I think I need some help. I'd love it to come to that, but a lot of times, you know, again, mental health is looked down upon.
And, yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And
you know who else is scared? Teachers are scared.
Sure. They should be.
No, listen, they're scared of children that they can't control because of, we have a friend who's a teacher and she's heard this. My dad will sue you. My dad.
Bill, you brought this up.
Yeah.
This is so common. Teachers cannot rein in the control of their students for fear of litigation.
But they have them sue the teacher and have them not win. to prove that that's not going to do anything. I mean, there, a teacher is not a substitute.
It's just a society we live in, and you got to change a lot of things. You change the culture we live in.
That seems impossible, John.
So does gun control, honestly.
John, I bet that over the I imagine that over the last couple of weeks or months, as you've told people about how much better it is in Japan, how much easier it is for the society to get along, I bet people say, well, then why don't you move there? You should just move there if you feel that way. You've come against that, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually heard that from anybody,
oh,
but I will tell you, Japan is not without its own problems. You know, they have a suicide problem because of the pressure that children are put under.
To succeed and be smart.
They have their own host of problems, but it's not shooting up a school. It's taking your own life because of you've dishonored your family.
Yep.
Well, that's not right either, John.
It's not right, but it's certainly, if that principle were applied more in our culture, you wouldn't see what's going on today.
Very, very possible.
And,
John,
also, can I just have one more thing?
Sure.
Let's talk about the gun violence in Chicago and big cities. 17 kids died. It's a horrible tragedy. 17 people die on average probably a week in Chicago. Let's talk about that, too. It's more than just one single nutcase. It's a culture. It's a paradigm the United States lives in. And we have
there may be some gun laws that need to be updated as well. Like, don't you think do you think it's too much to ask to be 21 years of age to get a gun?
A 2-year-old was murdered with his knife throat sliced. What animal does that? You know,
do you think 21 is a fair age to have a gun?
Oh, I agree. 21, background check, stronger. Yes, of course.
Okay, so it's many things. It's not just society. It's not just guns. But a lot of things have to be done for this to change, John. But we appreciate your thoughts.
A lot of things have to be done. We have to start with ourselves, though, and the way we view the world around us and the way we treat our neighbors. That's where it begins. And that includes downtown Chicago and our schools in the suburbs, everywhere.
John, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
And I don't disagree with them, but how do you get that to happen? How do you change a whole society? How do you do that?
Right.
And how long will it take?
Forever.
I know.
Forever. All right. We must take a break. It's news next, and then Patrick McDonald will join us. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you so much, Kim. A special happy National Margarita Day to everyone.
Today?
Yes.
You didn't tell me it was National Margarita Day.
I'm going to be celebrating tonight at Score Sports Center in Willow Springs, listening to the music of one Michael McInerney from 8 to 10. So come by and buy me a margarita.
Nope. Are you a with salt or without salt?
With salt. With salt, definitely.
Yep.
Patrick McDonald is here. You can come with tonight. I'll buy you a margarita.
You need some contrast with that salt, the sweetness of those drinks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant I was sweet.
Well, you are sweet.
That's a given. Everyone knows that. Exactly. Everyone knows this. Patrick, I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
This movie, Black Panther, is breaking all sorts of box office
records.
How
about it?
Did anyone see this coming? I know the reviews were really good. People said good things about it, but boy, is it selling out like crazy.
Well, there was a couple of good things that they did, and I think a lot of the preliminary discussion about the film was huge. I mean, everybody was saying that this was going to be a game changer. Now, director Ryan Coogler, of course, did Creed, and he took that Rocky legend and turned it on its ear.
Mm-hmm.
So here he's taking the superhero ethos and turning it on his ear. He's from Oakland, California, and he includes a part in Oakland, and he kind of puts the American experience of being African-American and the African experience of it together and makes it really multi-textural. Also, Black History Month. A lot of preliminary stuff going on with that, and a lot of like Octavia Spencer buying an entire theater to show to the kids the viral video of the kids cheering when they knew they were going to go to see Black Panther.
She did that? I didn't know that.
That's nice.
It's a very prideful film for African Americans, and also, you know, going back to African roots. So
they took a chance with this director.
Done.
He'd only made a couple of movies in the past, and nothing anywhere near along the lines of this.
No big
budget movies. Fruitvale Station was one of his, right?
Yes. Fruitvale Station is what got him on the map.
Yeah.
And then he did Creed, which was...
Did you like Creed?
I love Creed.
Did you, Bill?
I've not seen Creed
yet. Oh, yeah.
My husband and boys really enjoyed it.
Yes. If you like the Rocky legacy, yeah. He takes it to another level and really includes Stallone in a kind of profound way. You know, that was much about boxing as anything else.
Yeah.
You see a lot of scenes of Stallone actually training him, which was quite remarkable, considering his
history with it. The other thing that is interesting about this to me is Black Panther was and is kind of a minor character in the Marvel Universe. He's mm-hmm. not a marquee character.
Right.
So what you've had the last couple of years is every once in a while they'll throw out a movie, a Superman or a Batman, where it's all kinds of star power. Wow, those are the best. But it's a movie like Black Panther, a minor character that people love instead.
Sure, and the Atom, or Ant-Man, excuse me, another minor character. So they're going to start plumbing the depths of those comic books. But Stan Lee did invent Black Panther, and the Black Panther started the same year as the comic. So they're not sure if they took
which
their name
which.
From, yes. Well, no, not which inspired which. The Black Panthers took their name after the comic came out. So they're thinking
that
culturally that could have happened.
Oh, how about that?
So how about that? But there's no proof of it. Obviously.
There's some Star Wars news.
Yes, there is. There's always Star Wars news.
There will be
news.
For the rest of your natural born days.
Yeah.
Last night on Colbert, J.J. Abrams is on, and he announced that the script is done for the final chapter 9.
Mm-hmm. When is that one coming out?
Is being filmed this summer, I believe December 2019. We're in 2018, 2019 December.
Will the minions be in this one?
They're
the
floating
minions.
Now.
Yeah, they can fly.
What did Jimmy Mack think of the second one?
He loved it.
Yeah.
Is that the one that just happened?
Yeah, the one that just happened.
I can't keep track of. He really loved it. And there are a lot of people that didn't.
Right.
You saw it, Bill. You liked it?
I thought it was pretty good.
I did, too. Yeah. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as Force Awakens, but I liked it. And, how are they going to do it without Princess Leia? Because, again, I guess the original script had her in a very prominent role.
Right.
So the whole thing had to be redrafted.
Yeah, I imagine.
That's another person that I can't believe
Carrie
has passed.
Fisher.
Yes.
Hard to imagine.
Yeah. And
I forget.
Go ahead.
Did you see, there was a story yesterday, and I don't know the name of this sound effect, but in all the Star Wars movies, there has been a scream that they've used.
Oh,
it's from an old movie, but they like the way that this guy screamed. So in each Star Wars movie, at some point during the movie, when a guy gets laser blasted or falls off a boat or something, they play this scream, but they said, from now on, we found a better scream. We're not going to use this scream anymore.
Yeah. And why wouldn't they use the scream from the 1950s jungle picture?
I think that's the one.
I can't think of the name of the scream, though. It's a specific...
the Wilhelm Scream.
Jimmy
Mack did not text me. I actually looked it up. The famous Wilhelm scream goes silent.
Scream. So this was named after...
It's going silent.
There was a character named Wilhelm in some movie in the 50s.
Yes.
And then when they heard this guy scream, they go, that's it. That's the perfect scream. But not anymore.
And directors started using it as a good luck charm whenever they needed a scream sound effect. So it was used in Star Wars. It was used in Risky Business. It was used in, there's a lot
In lots of movies, not just the Star Wars.
Yes, it's just like a good luck charm.
Right.
When you need a scream, and it's a ridiculous scream. It's like,
It's like a jungle Tarzan-y. Right. I know. All right.
Funny.
We'll take a quick break. Patrick McDonald is here from Hollywood Chicago. Visit his website, HollywoodChicago.com. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I believe I found something you might want to hear.
Did you find the Wilhelm scream, Wendy? Let's quickly. That's it.
I have never heard that. It's very short and sweet.
They've used it in dozens and dozens of movies over the years. They have used it in every Star Wars movie.
It's funny.
So when a stormtrooper in New Hope, in the first Star Wars movie, they're laser blasting in the Death Star, and one of the stormtroopers gets hit and then falls off, and that's the scream you
really?
Hear.
Really? Yeah. And it's not like prominent like that, correct? You just kind of hear it in the background?
Yeah. But I've been watching movies where I'm watching it and so into the storyline, and then I'll hear that scream, and it takes me out for a minute because I go, oh, there it is. They used the scream in the movie.
I will be listening for that.
Here's an idea for an investment. How about a marksmanship school for the stormtroopers? They can't hit a sight.
Horrible shots.
Yeah, how about
horrible shots? Every one of them. All right, there's a couple movies opening this weekend, but first, I want to plug something, or I should let you plug something. The film tours are starting up very soon, right?
Yeah, April 1st will be starting, and or that's our soft opening, April. And but I want to remind everybody, you can get a private tour if you'd like. 10 or more people, we can negotiate a fine rate for you, and the snow is gone, so it's time to get out in the bus.
How do they best reach you, Patrick?
312-593-4455. I got it right. Yes.
Do it again. Like
you made that number up, but okay. We'll go with it if you want to go.
ChicagoFilmTour.com. Let's do that one. Okay, 593-4455-312.
Very good. All right. So game night starts, I think, tonight, actually.
Yes.
Right?
Game night starts Thursday. They do all, we're lucky we live in the urban center. All the releases come out on Thursday here in Chicago, starting after 7 o'clock. Game night, very funny film.
Good.
Jason Bateman,
I love Rachel McAdams.
Hey, he's in his prime time. A little darkness, a little black humor in this, which I liked. I had a tough week, and I sat down to that movie on Wednesday night, and it really, really uplifted me. I have to say, 4 out of 5 for game night, if you want a good laugh. And basically, the plot is Kyle Chandler's in it, for gosh sake. He played Bateman's brother. They do a game night every week, and he decides that he's going to up the ante and do a murder mystery. Well, it turns out that he's involved with some shady characters, and the murder mystery goes into the real life thing and gets kind of mixed up.
It's funny. I'm glad that it is. Jason Bateman has a little bit, I know this seems like a stretch, but there is a young Tom Hanks quality to him sometimes. Do you ever see that?
You know, I know him from virtually his entire career. Yeah. Remember him on the Hogan Family?
Yes, I do.
He played kind of the smart ass. Silver Spoon, sure.
He was on that. Little House on the Prairie, I believe.
He did a lot. I think he was on that for a little bit. Well, you know, his persona in the sitcom was like kind of a smarmy
kid.
Yeah, yeah. So he kind of taken that persona throughout his entire movie career. Sometimes it works. It was really, it was in Game Night, but it was really flat in like Office Christmas Party. I couldn't stand him in
Ozark,
that
really good in... It's a really...
The TV series?
Yeah. On Netflix. It's
there you go.
With Laura Linney.
Really fantastic in that.
He was telling a story last night. I saw him on a talk show about his first appearance on The Tonight Show, and Johnny Carson said the wrong name. He brings him out to the wrong name. And the other guest sitting on the panel was Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, my.
And Sammy Davis Jr. sang him a song.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be a nice few minutes in your life for Sammy to sing a song on The Tonight Show?
I was reading something about Carson. He did not, at some point when Rich Little started doing the impression of him, remember he did kind of later in his career?
Yeah.
He cut him off.
Yeah.
You know, he was on The Tonight Show. Yeah, that's exactly what
he did. He imitated the Wilhelm scream perfectly. I will do the Wilhelm scream and you will never return. So he did not like, because Johnny did the same thing when they started doing parodies on Saturday Night Live when Dana Carvey started doing impressions.
Johnny didn't like that?
He didn't want anybody from SNL on the show anymore because he thought that they were making fun of him in a bad way.
He got too big, man. Yeah. That was the thing. He thought he was untouchable. Yeah. When people started going after him, he was like... I remember Rich Little played him in that late night HBO
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
The one about Letterman and Leno?
Yeah, the late show. What was that called?
I think it was called The Late Show.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
That was really good.
Kathy Bates. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
All right, so your rating on Game Night
Game Night, 4 out of 5, and then Annihilation is the other big release this weekend. Sort of a horror film, horror science fiction in the alien mode. There's a zone called The Shimmer that is starting to expand from an alien source, and it's a shimmery kind of border area where they have to go in and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, not to give anything else away, Annihilation is really the title, and it's about how we evolve biologically, or you could get some religious aspects out of it, but it's really about the life of life within this shimmer zone. And it's the same guy who did Ex Machina, Alex Garland, if you remember Ex Machina, a very interesting treatise on what if they make these robots that you can actually fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
So he's exploring a lot of wild stuff. I thought the pacing was a bit off, but I'll give it 3.5 out of 5. I kind of prefer his science fiction in Ex Machina to this one.
Oh, okay.
Not a, a very small complaint. 3.5 out of 5.
The Academy Awards are just a couple of weeks away. In other years...
Sorry, I made a mistake, by the way.
That's all
it's the late shift.
The late
not
shift.
The late shift.
Right.
You're always correcting here.
in other years, there have been clear-cut favorites for nearly every category.
Yes.
This year, I'm not sensing that. Are you?
Well, I think in the actor and actress
Gary
category.
Oldman.
Yeah, Oldman, and I think Frances McDormand's going to take it. There's not much really... I'm sorry, Frances McDormand, yes, actress in a leading role, and actor Gary Oldman. Supporting Allison Janney, I think.
And I think
supporting an actor is going to be Sam Rockwell. Where I don't know is the picture. Because Three Billboards had been winning everything else, Golden Globe, Ensemble, SAG Award. But I don't know if Three Billboards is a type of movie that the Academy...
I agree
and,
with
and
you.
It's not your prototypical.
It's fantastic, and everyone should see it. But
it seems like a small movie that's carried by the acting and directing.
It has had divided reviews, and I'm one of them that do not like the movie.
Really?
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
I just thought it was a lot very mean-spirited and very much... Now, the ending kind of saved it for me, because almost the ending was like drawing back the curtain a bit.
Right.
But I could not track with her character.
What about this criticism? And I don't want to give too much away if people have not
careful.
Seen Thrill Bill. I'll be very, very careful. But Sam Rockwell's character is a despicable human being.
Right.
Who has kind of an epiphany and changes ways. And a lot of people have said that's just too easy, that a guy who's like that wouldn't make a change that quickly and that abruptly. What do you think of that?
I think it was part of the narrative flow of the movie. Again, not to give anything away, but something happens within the context of the film that causes him to reassess.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this reassessment is just beginning. And he was actually on Colbert last night, and he answered that criticism.
Oh, yeah.
He simply said that the character is in a state of transition.
Yeah.
And, you either accept it or you don't, because it's really at the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
He's such a good actor.
He is great.
I didn't know that.
He's great.
I don't
and
know
you
that.
Didn't know him until
what
this?
I've seen him in prior to this.
Oh, well, Moon
so
and
Matchstick Men is the one that I would recommend.
I mean, he's done like lower, like artier films up to this point, and this is really an arty film too. And yet, it's gotten mainstream, of course, with the Three Billboards down Florida right now.
Yep.
You know, Slaughter in School and Still No Gun Control. How come Marco Rubio?
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
they
did the exact parody of the Three Billboards.
Yeah.
You know?
Patrick, again, if people want to take an early tour, they don't start for about another month, 5 weeks, but they can by going to HollywoodChicago.com, and all your movie reviews are there as well, right?
Yes, and ChicagoFilmTour.com on the film tour, 593-4455. And I'm going to be the two critics, Nick Allen and Patrick McDonald, appear as the Darkroom Men, an acoustic act, at Phyllis Musical Inn, 9:30 on Saturday. And then I'm going to be hosting the Best Foreign Language Film nominee, The Square, 7:30 at the Tivoli Theater in good
Downers
old Downers Grove.
And I love Phyllis's Musical Inn.
Yeah.
No, I really do.
Somebody
so very
you.
Sorry about your brother.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
who passed
you.
Away.
Stephen McDonald. R.I.P., brother.
Oh, man.
Wherever you are.
Stay strong, Patrick. It's Patrick All McDonald, right. Everybody. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.